Okay, so last time we started talking about the issue of dyeing hair. We saw in Machlokas about whether dyeing hair or plucking hairs is an issur d'oraisa or issur d'rabbanan. According to the Rambam, it's an issur d'oraisa, even one hair. According to the Ravid, it's an issur d'rabbanan. We saw a discussion as to whether it's an issur d'oraisa with multiple hairs, according to the Ravid, or even the Ravid is saying across the board, there's no issur d'oraisa at all. Moreover, we saw that the Rambam held that we're dealing with an issur d'oraisa even with respect to the beard. Now, the Gemara, you could have said, well, how could a beard be usur? Well, they never dye beards. They don't have beards. And even if they have a beard, so they don't dye their beards brown. So that being the case, maybe you would have thought it's usur. And the answer is no, the Rambam holds it's usur. It's even issur d'oraisa. And the reason presumably is because, as we've seen, grooming itself is a feminine activity. Again, sometimes it's hard to define. And as an activity, this type of grooming, of beautification and the like, is usur. Now, so a couple of things to talk about, and we'll get to some of the practical questions. First of all, Rav Moshe has a couple of tshuvos about hair dyeing, which we've shared. And Rav Moshe is very into the idea. The first one is Chelek Aleph in Yerideis and in Pei-Beis, where he is discussing taking some type of medicine pill. I don't know exactly what it is that's going to dye your hair brown. And he says it's asur. And Rav Moshe in Kedarko Bakodesh treats this practical shayla in a very lumdish way. We have to understand the gather of the isur. Is it an isur taitza? Is it an isur maisa? Once we get to the lumdish of the isur, we'll be able to understand what it is. So Rav Moshe says, as we've mentioned before, that the isur is an isur of the totsa'a. This is a very interesting position. So he says, if you said that the isur is mitzad hamaisa, so then maybe this would be mutter, because first of all, women don't take pills to dye their hair. They just use hair dye. And even if they did, but it doesn't look like you're dyeing your hair. And mitzad hamaisa, there's no womanly tap maisa, you're just taking a pill. So then maybe you would say it's mutter else this. And you might have even said that if it's else maisa, that it's some sort of grumma. But he says none of these are going to be such great kulas, because the isser is not an isser mitzad hamaisa, but an isser mitzad ha totsa. And once it's an isser mitzad ha totsa, so then there's nothing to talk about. Now, we discussed why just looking at a isser mitzad ha totsa is not pashut. Talked about it, for example, with respect to the issur of scratching with a baguette and the like. We saw evidence lakan lakan. Probably the easiest approach to take is the approach that Rav Eliashiv takes, for example, when discussing this issue. We'll get to his position in a moment, that it's asur mitzad shnehem. But anyway, Rav Moshe does not take that approach. And there were those that asked on Rav Moshe. So in Chelek Beis and in Shin Aleph, I think, he revisits the question. And one of the questions they asked is, well, then what's wrong with looking at a mirror? And he tries to argue that even looking at a mirror is an Isser Mitzad Tosa. All right. So that's a little bit left over from last time. Now let's begin today's shiur by discussing questions or situations where poskim actually permit men to dye their hair. Are there any such situations? And sort of I'll sum up the mainstream view, and then we'll get into some of the details in a moment. We will see that according to many poskim, it's going to be mutter in cases of preventing embarrassment, in a situation where you have a mum. So for example, premature graying, where a person might be very embarrassed. They're 22 years old, they have white hair. And the kula could be based off of two different factors. One is maybe if we're only dealing with the issur d'rabbanan, then b'makom kaver b'yos, we could be makel, or more likely that when it's done to prevent embarrassment, it might not be considered feminine, it might not be'atzem be b'chlal the issur. And certainly with respect to a mum, which for now, that's what we're talking about in lunch, how do you define a mum exactly, but for now we'll assume An emunah is something that most people don't have. So getting rid of something that most people don't have, whether it's premature graying or maybe a unibrow or things like that. So many poskim, maybe most poskim, are mako. So now embarrassment, though, if it's not a mom, is not clear. You know, somebody who's 40 years old who's going gray, and he's saying, I'm very embarrassed. So that can't really be seen as a mom. And it's much less of a basis to be making. Those chufos that we saw with Moshe for hair dye, or he's even machmir for taking the pills, hair dyeing pills, he's machmir. He's presumably talking about a regular guy who's 40, he's 50 years old, who wants to look young. But we're not, but when it comes to cases of Boucher, they're like, so that's a different story, as we'll see. And not only that, but many poskim, including Rav Moshe, is even mako, not just for embarrassment, but for other practical purposes, like Rav Moshe is mako for purposes of getting a job. And the reason is because here it's not being done for beauty, but which would make it feminine or the like, but rather, it's entirely practical. And as we saw, most poskim are mako when it comes to things that are practical. And the chiddush here, though, is even when we're dealing with something that would otherwise be asur midoraisa, possibly, and also things that, interestingly enough, even though Rav Moshe himself was of the view that dyeing hair or plucking white hairs is asur across the boards, even in a society where men do it. So Rav Moshe held that it is somewhat of a categorical asur because by its very nature, it's feminine, but nevertheless, when it's tzarech parnasa, he's willing to be mako. As we'll see, and the reason is because once it's practical, it's not feminine, it's practical, and the like. So that's some of the overview. Now we'll look at some of the poskim, what they say more in detail, and then we'll get to some other questions. So what's to do? The question already for hundreds of years, this question of people who prematurely grayed or embarrassed about it, what's the din, has been discussed. As I said, the reason why this is a particularly tricky question is because, well, at least according to the Rambam, dyeing your hair is an iser deoraisa. And v'chein im sava sa'aro shafor mishyitzba sa'ara levana achas. Okay. Now, it's interesting because they talk about it by the beard. Now, the Rambam didn't say that dyeing the beard a single hair is loka. In other words, maybe, and that's maybe because women don't dye their beard. I'm sorry? Plucking is their right. So you're saying it doesn't help, but it's not true. Women do pluck their beards. But they don't, you're right, they don't necessarily pluck their beards to get rid of their black hairs. They get pluck their beards to get rid of all their hairs when they have a beard. Nevertheless, you could make that chiluk, and maybe there's a little bit of a basis because again, the Rambam is meduyak. He mentions men and when it comes to zikno, he mentions likut, but not so when it goes to tzviya. Tzviya is talking about the hair. But if you think that the Pashtus and Rambam is that the Isser is because of the Yipoy in general, then arguably it's not going to make any difference at all. So many poskim are Machmir. Now, there are those that are Makel, and one of them is Makel for a particularly strange reason, at least one of his studim. The Sholem Eshev, Kama Yardaya, Chelak Aleph, Simen Reshiyud, says, well, we could be matir because it's only an Isser Derabanan, because Rov, Rishonim, Paskin like the Tana Kama, even though the Rambam, Paskin like Rav Blazman Yaakov. So when I read that, I was wondering, what does he mean? Which Rishon, Paskin like the Tana Kama? I'm sorry? So the Smad, Paskin's like the Tana Kama, so that's Rov, Rishonim. So, we could justify it. We could say maybe the rule that halachic was Yaakov only even a Mishnah, fine. But what Rishon really holds that way. So maybe he thinks, I don't know, that a lot of the, let's say the Mordechai, we saw the Mordechai and says, Gildei Tzawa shall the Saro, Bishvil Tzaro, Shari Lahasir, Nerdim Neadim, Sheshlam Ribui Sayar, Al Yadehim, Uvoshim Lahar Os Bain Anashim, Motor Lahasir, Lesbim Shim Lilbash, Lim Chatzar Gadu Zas. Maybe you could read that Mordechai saying like this. This is it's mutter because yes, according to Reb Lazmiak, this is Nisid Raisa. But we must pass them like a Nisid Rabbanan. Therefore, Makom Busha, Kavod Abrios, Logazu Rabbanan. You certainly don't have to read the Mordechai that way. You could say, for example, that the reason why that's not Aser De Raisa is because it's not only Sarah. It could be that here what you're doing because of Busha, it's not the Chalal Yisr. So not clear. We have another Mordechai, Yish Mefarshim, De'af, De'had Aser Le'ish Laharos B'mara B'chol, Le'didan, Hainu L'lake L'vanos Mitov Shchoros, De'bahachi Misni Hasam Gabi Isha. This is the Mordechai we brought up last time. We said, how could that be? How could that be a good yishuv? After all, it's usher to pluck hair. It's for sure. Maybe according to this theory, no, the Mordechai holds it's mutter to pluck hairs because we pass them like the Tanakama. And it's just usher midirabanan. And then we're matir, maybe Makom Kavavios or Derech. So there are certain places where you could try to be medayek in different Rishonim that hold this way. But it's very hard to say that. It's very hard to say that. The pashtus is they were matir for Beis Gamliel, not because they were matir, what would otherwise be an issur Rabbanan, but for the other reasons that we explained. We could try to say the raya that we hold, like the Chachanan, is the fact that we have the Gemara and Shabbos that says Aser, not Chayev, sort of what was driving the Ravid. But again, we saw the other Rishon didn't say that. So that's a very difficult sad to be makel, but that is one svar given to be makel to dye your hair when you're embarrassed is because you think you pass like Tanakama. That is a view that seems to be against most Rishonim. So that's not a very good sad lahatir. Now he says, but what is a better tzad to be mako? So Rav Yashiv, Kobis Chuvos Chelok Aleph Simen Pei Aleph, says like this. First, he goes back. We mentioned this last time. He says, well, if we're dealing with an Issa D'Raisa, we can't be mako. If we're dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanan, we could be mako. Seems to be a machlokas Rambam Ravid. So we have to be close to the Ravid Rambam. So therefore, that's not a good derech. But then he says, you know why I think it's really going to be mutter? Because if we're dealing with someone who's a kid, meaning to say 20 years old, 22 years old, whatever it is, so then we have to koshish for this iser, both mitzad the maisa and mitzad the totza. Mitzad the maisa, as long as you're using dye, which is not used for women. So use men's hair dye. And so it's not awesome mitzad the maisa. Nobody would, if you know, your bottle says dye, hair dye for men. And it's not Arsa Mitzad the Totsai, says why? Because you don't look like a woman. You don't look like, not only that, but you don't look like a man who's dyed his hair. Because the rest of your body looks like a 22-year-old. When is it Arsa Mitzad the Totsai? If you have a 50-year-old guy, a 60-year-old guy, someone who looks old, who seems old, and then he has young hair, so then I'll look at him and I'll see, this guy dyed his hair. But when it's not Aser Mitzad and Totsa, I've always wondered, because you always see people that like dye their hair, and you always wonder, do they really think it looks like that they look like that we can't tell? But anyway, I mean, maybe there are other people that I can't tell, but it seems like a lot of people who dye their hair. So that's usually what happens. It's you could tell that their hair is dyed. But when you're 22 years old and your face is young and you look young and you just happen to have white hair. So he says, okay, it's not Aser Mitzad the Maisa, it's not Aser Mitzad the Totsa, and therefore it should be Mutter. Shlomo Zalman Orbach is also writes it's the minhag to be Mako, and others as well. So Lemaisa, the poskim are willing to be Mako, I think, overall. Again, there, if you look at the Minchas Yitzchak, he quotes a whole list of poskim that are machmir. In fact, he even thinks both poskim are machmir. But overall, I think that by now, Rove poskim are makel. And they're, again, especially if a person thinks, you know, will be embarrassed without it, it is embarrassing, and the like, and they're young, then there is makom lahakel for this. Again, the way many poskim put it, including Rishon Zalman Auerbach, is anytime it's derech mum, and you're just trying to get rid of what would be a mum, so then it's going to be mutter. Along similar lines, what we discussed earlier this morning, the question of the unibrow. So somebody is embarrassed because they have a unibrow. Is that mutter? That same Nachum found the Nishmas Avram, who cites from Shlomo Zalman, that's going to be mutter. Why it's a mum? Here it happens to even be a mum legabe formerly, like Kohanim. Well, Lachari don't need that. Anytime it's something that people see as a mum, people are embarrassed about it and the like. So a man, like tweezing his eyebrows to have nice shapely eyebrows, that probably is certainly usher. That is something that women do. But someone who has eyebrows that seem like a mum, I'm not saying you have to, somebody who has it shouldn't feel bad. There are many G'dayli Yisrael that had like massive unibrows. Stifler or others. So you're in good company. But anyway, but if someone is embarrassed and the like, then Shlomo Zalman says, okay, so that's a mum. That's not considered yipoy. And it shouldn't be usher. What? Stifler didn't?
Thick eyebrow.
They're so thick it looked like a eyebrow. I don't know. Okay. I remember there being pictures, but okay, maybe I'm wrong. Anyway. definitely not. definitely not. All right. So, again, as we pointed out, sometimes there's a fine line between yipoy and mum. Women will, groom themselves for long periods of time and at great expense to get rid of, what they see as a mum and we might see as yipoy, but at least when we're dealing with a case where somebody's embarrassed, something that most people don't have and the like, then l'chora, that's what Rishon Zalman is saying, is that if it's seen as a mum, meaning say most people don't have it, it's causing you busha, then there's not going to be mako. Now that's for tweezing eyebrows. What about cutting them? So here, there's a little bit more of a tzad to be mako, even if it's not so embarrassing. Now, why is that? So let's explain, first of all, what we're talking about. As we mentioned during lunch, men, after they get to be above a certain age, their eyebrows start growing longer. I don't know why that is. And the question is, could you get them cut? Here, there is, I think, two tzadim to make. Well, first of all, women don't cut their eyebrows, I think, as much as tweeze them. In other words, here we're talking about a case where a person has long, bushy eyebrows, and they're embarrassed by it. So on the one hand, it's a little more of a tzad to be machmir, because it's, I don't know if we could call it a woman. It's pretty normal for men to have this. But at the same time, you're not cutting them the way women cut them. It almost becomes normal, like cutting hair. In fact, I think that many people, if they go to a barber, they don't ask you. They'll just start cutting your eyebrows. Not your age people, but when people get older and they start growing out their eyebrows and the like. So without, the barber is like trimming your hair, and they'll just, you might even cut your nose hairs, and he'll cut your eyebrows and the like. I think that would probably be bichlal, it's not a womanly activity at all. So certainly if you're going to hold like the Mechilin, that when it's a normal thing to do, then it's mutter, then it would be okay. If you follow Menachem and the Tzemach Tzedek and the like, that shaving is an Isser of Beged Isha, so then this might also be Aser. In terms of poskim, the Sheilos HaTshuvos Avnei Yeshva, Chelek Dalet, Simen Tzadi Aleph, discusses this. And he makes that point, Shederach Hanashim Litlosh Es Hasa'aros V'lo L'Katzer Osan. And therefore, there's more of a tzad to be makel. And again, it's not something that requires a great amount of grooming. As I said, like the barber is cutting you and he just snips them off and onto the next thing, then I think there is more room to be makel. Again, there are those that are machmir. Certainly, there are many Gdolei Yisrael that had gigantic eyebrows for this reason. What about dyeing your hair to get a job? There's a tshuva from the Sridei Eish who is Mako as well. He says, Shilchol Ashitos. Right, that might be a little bit of a push. Yesh Lahater Tzivua Hasa'aros Im Eino Miskaven Liyipoi Kiim Latoelas Masit. Like getting a job. Now, there's a very interesting point that comes up here parenthetically. Rav Moshe is also Mako, and he quotes that he also saw that Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, don't get so many tshuvos from him, the Rosh Yeshiva Slobodka was Mako, as well as Rabbi Prale, the Rav of Elizabeth, Rav Lozemeyer Prale, I think it's his name, Rabbi Teitz's father-in-law. He also is a tshuva. Rabbi Prale's tshuva is very interesting tshuva because he also dons on the issue of Ona'ah, which Rav Moshe sort of deals with. He says, of course, I'm talking about a case where there's no Isser of Ona'ah. Now, why would there be an Isser of Ona'ah? So the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, says, for example, you can't, sell things that misrepresents their quality. So, you're selling your animal and you give it water mixed with bran that makes it like look bigger or healthier or stronger. That's usher than it actually is. That's Ona'ah. You're ripping the person off. And you can't dye the hair of an Eved because people will think it's younger and it's older. So assuming there's no Ona'ah. So Rabbi Vail said, yeah, but this is okay as long as you're, and Rav Moshe endorses it, as long as you're fit for the job. In other words, I'm applying for a job and I have white hair. I know there's going to be age discrimination, right? And there is age discrimination. A person, I'm perfectly qualified, suited to do the job. It's not like, they're asking for heavy lifting and I'm not capable. Okay, then it would be Ona'ah. It would be Ona'ah if the job required like physical activity and I'm an old man, I'm not really capable of physical activity, so I dye my hair, I look young now, they're going to hire me. That would be Ona'ah because I'm not fit for the job and I'm misleading them. But over here, you're not misleading them because you know for sure you're fit for the job. It's just age discrimination. My brother-in-law pointed out, actually, Rabbi Yitzchak Grossman, that, it's not so pashut because a lot of times, even if you're fit to do the job now, there are higher costs for an older worker. For example, training is a big investment. So you might be fit for the job, but they'll have to hire somebody else in 10 years from now when you retire. They hire someone at 30, so they get more money or, from their investment in terms of something like a training. It's an interesting question. But Rav Moshe says that, again, assuming there's no issue of Ona'ah, that it's mutter to dye your hair for the purposes of work.
I think it's more likely for a young worker to skip the job.
I can't hear you. Say it again.
I think it's more likely for a younger worker to leave the job than an older worker.
That might be true also. A fair point. Okay. Fair point. Okay. So let's turn to pants. Are pants a violation of Lo Yobash? So the question is, of course, that nowadays it's very normal for women to wear pants. And moreover, the pants that women wear are generally miuchados for nashim. It's not like men wear these pants, and it's certainly very normal for women to wear pants. Maybe we saw a discussion last time whether you follow Gayim or not. The Rashba says probably you don't follow Mina Gayim, and the Prisha as well is Mesupik about that. According to the second answer, maybe it doesn't say you follow Gayim. So if you're going to be Machmir and not Shaila, then could be, you could argue that you'd have to also argue that you don't follow Rove Jews, but you follow from Jews, and then it could be considered Derech Beged Anashim. If you don't follow that view, if you say that no, that we could look at society to be koveya, so then then it's not so pasha to be machmir. And especially if you're going to accept the view of the Bach, Taz, Shach, etc., that when you're wearing even a beged shalish, but for practical purposes, like wearing a men's coat when it is cold outside or the like, so then if that's mutter, so why shouldn't it be mutter also for me to wear, for a woman to wear pants because it's cold outside and the like? And even, you know, the Shach's a little more ambivalent, he says, his rabbis are machrach, but he seems to accept the leniency as long as you're not entirely dressed as a woman, as long as it's just, one woman's clothing, or in this case, one man's clothing. We also saw a lot earlier, the Avnei Tzedek, quoted by the Darkei Tshuva, Chelek Yeridei Simanayim Beis, who says that it's okay to wear pants under your skirt. And in fact, the women in Poland used to do this in order to stay warm. So it seems like it should be mutter mitzad baghed isha. However, there are those that are machmir. Among them, Shevet Alevi, Chelek Basin, and Samach Aleph, and Menfas Yitzchak. The Shevet Alevi says, not only is this aser, if you reject the Bach, but even if you hold like the Bach, it's aser. Why? Because there are certain things that are fundamentally masculine, which are aser regardless of society and functionality. What's the raya? So the topic we're going to get to next, which is weapons. Weapons, he says, are both functional, and yet even the Bach would say it's aser, like we see in Rashi and the Mefarsh Maseches Nazir. A woman can't use a sword, even though she's using it functionally. So therefore, so too, you can't apply the Bach to permit pants. Just like the Bach wouldn't permit using a weapon, the Bach wouldn't use pants. Weapons are inherently masculine, and so are pants. The question is, Mechatesi, how does he know that pants are inherently masculine? Maybe it's just the minhag. And he says, even the Avnei Tzedek would be moda, because the Avnei Tzedek has this example, I don't know, some type of a hat that apparently men wear. It's a men type of hat, but there's a woman's version of the man's hat, and it's going to be usher, he says. So too, pants. So even if you have a woman's version of pants, since pants are inherently masculine, then they are usser. And certainly, he says, if you hold like the Gra, who rejects the Ran, and usser's mirrors, so you could say the similar type of thing over here, and throw in the Rashba, who says we don't follow the minhag of the Gayim, we don't follow the minhag of Arayanim, so we should be machmir over here as well. That's the reasons for the machmirim. So all of these are somewhat questionable. First of all, for the most part, we are makel about mirrors. Most men do use mirrors nowadays. Even weapons, we'll see that's not so poshut when we talk about weapons, but even if we accept that, just because net weapons are inherently masculine, mechtesi pants are, he asserts it. But doesn't really prove it, especially in terms of, you know, the Ramaz make a look against that Rashba. When we do follow minhag hamakom when it comes to shaving, things like sarbei sashechi. And especially when, you know, oftentimes, So it's not so easy to aser al beged ish. Again, you could make such an argument, but it's a hard argument to make to aser it. Now, poskim who say even if it's not aser al beged ish, still say it's aser meat for a different reason, basically because of tritzos, because of tznios. No, probably isn't going to be beged ish anymore. Maybe one time it was, but now that it's so normal, it's not going to be Beged Isha anymore. Sorry, it's not going to be Beged Isha anymore. But still, it's Pritzah stick. And the reason is because of Pisuk Ragayim. That's also part of what the Shevet Alevi and Mitzvah Yitzchak were saying. They were saying it's so masculine that it's a violation of Beged Ish. even if we don't go that far, it still is, according to almost all poskim, a violation of tznius more generally. Now, it's a difficult sugya because it's not like there are really too many sources that say this in earlier sources, in Chazal. Some talk about it from the Gemara Pesachim in the first parak. One talks about Rechiva and Lashon Naki and the like. So maybe there are some remazim to this idea. But it seems to me that almost all poskim that write about this do feel that there's a lack of tznius over here by wearing clothing that accentuate the separation of the legs. This was a sense of tznius that seems like almost all posts can accept, even if there aren't so many clear-cut makoros for it. However, it's not so clear-cut that we could really say it's usser. And especially in cases where it's not particularly pritzustik, let's say the shiloh comes up when people want to wear scrubs. You know, it was a mutter to wear scrubs. Scrubs are not particularly pritzustik article of clothing. They're sort of designed to be as non-pritzustik as you could imagine. Snow pants or the like, things like that. Again, most poskim on the book would say that at least you should wear a skirt on top of it, but it's not so clear that that we could say it's osir, and that's. Especially in cases like we said about something like scrubs or the like.
Perhaps one could suggest the argument for tznius has led some poskim to say that it's inherently a masculine garment.
That's exactly what the Minchas Yitzchak and the Shevet HaLevi both say, but that's already a much bigger chiddush. To say that it's not tzniustic is one thing. To say that makes it, we could even say tzchukas akam for that reason. But to say that makes it beged-ish as well, that's less clear. Again, that is exactly the argument that they're saying. One of the things that many poskim do say, especially that tshuva from Rav Avadia that we saw this morning, is that it's certainly the lesser of two evils when it comes to something like skirts that are not tzniustik. So, if a Rav has a choice, either they're going to wear a mini skirt or wear pants. So wearing pants is far better than wearing a mini skirt. And even if it's not mini skirts, there's more tznius than exactly what's being covered. And that's something that has to be taken into account. Okay. So let's turn to weapons. So as we saw in the Gemara says, and in fact, this is the example of Rabbi Lozman Yaakov's Shita. Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, Omer minayin shel tetzei sheba kli zayin, lemilchama tam lomer lo yiya kli gaber al isha. So it would seem that we have a debate between Rashi and the Rambam about this, how to understand the Gemara. According to Rashi meaning the Mefarish on the page, the Gemara is teaching us seemingly that women can't even use a weapon, not just that they can't go out to war like a soldier, but they can't even use a weapon. And that's why Rashi quotes that this is why Yael killed Sisera using a tent peg. So it's not to use a weapon, not to use a sword, says Rashi. And the Gilyon Hashas Eger over here points out that this is rooted in the Medrash. So Rashi, quoting Chazal, say what's the targum? First of all, Tamlama the Kivarisha, Vizesha Matina Bial, Ashes Chaver, Hakeni, Shaloha Ragdal, the sister of Zion, Alakamoshinemar, Yada, Liased, tishalchena. Right? So the implication from Rashi is just using a sword would be aser als bagadisha. Now, obviously, we're dealing with a case where there's no pikuach nefesh, in this case, because he was fast asleep. She already did many different yisurim to get him to be asleep. So there's no need to do another iser to kill him. But assuming that there's no pikuach nefesh at all, so then it would be aser. Now, when we turn to the Rambam, you get a different impression in Perek Yudbeis, Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam writes, in Halacha Yud, Alo ta'adei sha'adei ha'ish, kigon shetasim b'rosha mitznefes okova, o shetilbash shiryan upiotinbo, o shetikalech rosha ki'ish. So a couple of things must be pointed out. First of all, as Aaron was pointing out earlier today, Rambam includes this in the restriction of idui, right? So this is considered idui, right? This is an example. It's similar to her wearing a mitznefes okova. And indeed, the Rambam even calls it levisha. Kigon shetilva shiryon, right? She's wearing armor. Moreover, it's very fascinating. First of all, the Rambam doesn't mention sword over here, and he gives an example of levisha. And the impression you get from the Rambam, as the Chacham Sadman points out, is that this is a iser of idui, of her ornamenting herself like a man. And the way she's ornamenting herself like a man is by wearing armor. This is what the Chachmas Adam, how he puts it, V'amnam HaRambam, Perek Yudbeis, Melchus Avodah Zarah. And again, he contrasts this with Rashi. Kasav lo ta'adei isha, edei ish, kigon shetasim b'roshav etznefes, okova otil b'shir yon, kiyotzi bo, o shetigalech roshak ish, lo yedei ish, da-da-da, akokam, fine. Miloshon zeh mashma d'davka derech levisha aser dim lo kein lama kasav shetasim mitznefes bechulei avin lechto d'afilu likach kli zayin biyada like Rashi said is aser v'chein kasav achinuch simin tafkuf mem beis v'zal shono v'isha overas al zeh v'lov sham al bushim am yuchadim al nashim levad chayavim malkos. Now in the Sefer Mitzvos he does mention sword. This is the Sefer Mitzvos lo sase mem. However, he does it in the same type of way as consistent with what he says in Sefer Mitzvos. He writes there, V'yemer im haya hamis'asek bo adam yilbash b'gdei nashim v'yiskashet b'zahav u'pninim v'adomim lahem v'maisa yisha tilbash hashiryon v'tizdayin b'charavos. Tizdayin b'charavos might mean like wearing a sword as opposed to using a sword. So, might very well be, seems reasonable, that according to Rambam, there would have been nothing wrong with Yael killing Sisera with a cheref. Aaron was pointing out, it makes sense, that maybe the Rambam chose armor as opposed to sword, at least in Mishnah Torah, because armor is often ornamental. Now, there's also functionality to armor, but and the truth is that a large part of weaponry, certainly in the olden days, did have an ornamental element. The American revolutionists took advantage of that when fighting the Revolutionary War. The red coats, and they'd come in with their drums, and they'd make a hole, right? So there is a big part of that. So beside the practical element, for the Rambam at least, that's a part of the Isser. Now, some point out, but maybe there's a stira to this from the Rambam and the Tshuva. This is a very fascinating Tshuva. We'll go back to that also for a couple other points today. From the Rambam, it's cited in Maaser Rokeach, in which the Rambam gets very angry at women brandishing swords at weapons, at weddings. So besides the men dressing up as women at the weddings, which the Iraim was all worried about, so the Rambam was worried about these women, who They're also dancing with swords in front of the men. Oh, yeah, yeah. So maybe you see that even holding a sword is asur, according to the Rambam. However, here too, again, we could ask that clearly the usage of this sword is not functional. They're not killing the men. It's sort of an ornamental sword dance. It could also be classified as idui, and therefore perhaps we don't see any contradiction from this Tumas Rambam to the idea for that the deal that the Chachmas Adam makes. So, as again, as opposed to the other position of Rashi, Rashi clearly thinks functionally using a sword is usher. In fact, if you recall, Rashi, the Chachmas Adam pointed out that based off of Rashi, we could refute the Bach, because according to the Bach, it's mutter when it's functional, and according to Rashi, clearly, it's usher when it's functional, because it was usher for Yael to kill Sisera with a sword. How would, if you accept the Bach, the Shach, the Taz, you know, how would you defend this deal from Chachmas Adam? So we already saw a number of approaches to that. We saw the Tziv, who said that weapons might be different because they're inherently masculine. Rav Moshe himself says that we're talking about a case where there was plenty of time anyway. He was fast asleep. Maybe we would agree, you know, the Bach himself is only willing to be mako when it's easy, when there's a real need. If it's easy, you know, if you have two options in front of you to kill Sisera with a tent peg or kill him with a sword, so you could do it with a tent peg, why would you do it with a sword? So if it's Afshar Binyan Acher, we know the Bach is Machmir, maybe this is also Afshar Binyan Acher. Okay. Either way, the practical question we need to figure out is really twofold, two modern questions where this issue comes up. Number one, is it mutter for a woman to carry / wear a handgun? According to Rambam, we could say, is it mutter for her to wear a handgun, let's say in a holster, or in Rashi, to use a handgun? Again, shalom b'makom pikuach nefesh. Rav Moshe was asked this question by his grandson with respect to women living in the shtachim and one carry a gun, otherwise terrorists might attack them. Is that mutter? And then the second question is mutter for women to join the army. And also, assuming the answer is generally speaking no, is it possible that a milchames mitzvah is different? So I guess we'll address that one first. Why would you think that a milchames mitzvah is different? So besides the fact that there are other issues that are things that might normally be prohibited at a mutter b'makom milchames mitzvah, but it seems to me in a mefurash mishnah sota mandal to mebeis b'med v'amunim milchames harishus so milchames mitzvah kol yotzin afilu chasam mechupasa v'kala mechupasa. Sounds like explicit when it comes to milchames mitzvah. The women go out to battle. However, if you take a look at the Radvaz, Hilchos Malachim, Chela, Perek Zayin, Mishnah, Halacha Dalet, he says, nah, not so fast. The Avshar, to be Mochemes Mitzvah, Nashim Hayu Mesapkos, Mayim Umazon, Levalayan, Bechain, Haminag Ayom, Be'aravios. So it doesn't mean they are soldiers, it means that they have to participate in the war effort. But we can't be medayik from over here that they would actually act as soldiers. Perhaps there's a diuk against this in the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. This is the very end of the Sefer HaMitzvos, at the end of Sharashim, right before he starts the first mitzvah. So he's going through the listings of the mitzvahs, and he says, "V'ezachri." So he's telling you, like, these are my rules. "V'ezachri gam kein hamitzvos asher lo yischayvu l'nashim asay v'lo sasay omer zos ein hanashim chayavos behen the dua shein hanashim danos meidos v'lo makrivos karban biyadehen v'lo milchamos b'milchames harishos." So women are not nilchamos. So we could say that from that Lashon of the Rambam, again, maybe we have to look at the different translations. I didn't do that. But the Lashon of Lo Nilchamos B'Milchames Rishos implies that they are Nilchamos B'Milchames Mitzvah. Nilchamos maybe sounds like actually acting as soldiers, as opposed to what the Radvaz says, which is just playing other roles in the war effort, but not actually acting as soldiers. I don't know if it's muchrach. A raya they bring, like the Radvaz, or another Rishon that might hold like the Radvaz, is from the Sefer Chinuch, Simen Tav Resh Gimel. Now, I used to call it mitzvah, but now we see that for the Chayyad, we call it Simen. At least when you're quoting it in the halachic context. So he says, Bar Amalek, V'nohegas mitzvah zu, v'chol makom, v'chol zman, v'zcharim, kilahem, lasos ha-melchama v'nikaya, v'nikmas ha-oyeh v'lal l'nashim. Since the reason of remembering Amalek is to remind people to wage war. So who wages war? The men, not the women. Now, v'chol ra, ein l'chol melchama v'smitzvah g'del mizu. And yet, it says men, not women. Must be that he holds like the Radvaz. The truth is, even for the Radvaz, you wouldn't necessarily think this is true, because the Radvaz pointed out they do play a role in the war effort. But certainly, the indication is that they're not actually acting as soldiers. However, the Minchas Chinuch asks, what is the Sefer Chinuch talking about? Why is it different? First of all, how does he know? But more fundamentally, he says, how is it different than Hariga Shiva Amamin, where the Sefer Chinuch, Mitzvah Tav Chapei, says no, mitzvah zu is no hagas b'schar b'kevos. So why is it that women are pturos from Milchamas Amalek, according to Sefer Chinuch, but chayavos in mitzvah shiva amamin? There's a lot of Torah on this. That's kasha one, and moreover, what he asks, Sefer Chinuch asks, what about the Mishnah and Sota? The Minchas Chinuch is basically docha the Sefer Chinuch for this. A reason to be miyashev the Sefer HaChinuch, different answers are given. One answer that's given, which is a very interesting idea, we won't get into it now because we're almost out of time, but something to think about, is he says that there's a difference between, this isn't the Minchas Chinuch, others, between Milchamas Amalek, which isn't really about establishing the country, it's about Nikmas Hashem, versus, let's say, Shiva Amamin and maybe other Milchamos mitzvah, about which we say Afilu Kala Mechupasa. Amalek, it's a mitzvah milchama, but it's not a milchamas mitzvah, if you wish. It's not about it's a specific act of war that we must do. And it's a mitzvah to do that war. But when it comes to a milchama that's, let's say, about conquering Eretz Yisrael, protecting Eretz Yisrael, and so on and so forth, so then women are not excluded. Interesting thing to think about. One way or the other, there are many who accept the Radvaz and assume that, that including the Rashash and Sota Daf Memdal, the Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnah and Sota, and they hold, and certainly I would add, that seems to be the view of the Mefarish, going back to the Rashi by Yael. I mean, that was a Milchames mitzvah, and yet she wasn't even acting as a soldier. She was simply killing the chief enemy. And still, there wasn't a blanket heter for women to participate, at least to the extent that it wasn't necessary. And therefore, many poskim assume that it is a problem, even with the Milchamas mitzvah, for women to participate. Okay.
If I can ask?
Yes.
The Chumash in B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, they talk repeatedly about the men going to battle and the women staying back in the cities with the kids.
That's certainly true, that's what was done. I mean, it's hard to bring a riot that was usher. Now, there's no question that most of the time, women did stay home, and for one thing, because like somebody needed to stay home with the kids, and it would make more sense for the men to go to battle and the women to stay home. The question is there an isser on mitzad beged ish, or is it possible that the isser does not apply in a case of Milchamas Mitzvah, basic Mishnah Sota? So it seems from what I've seen that the poskim, for the most part, are machmir on that shaila, not like the Melchus Chinuch, who thinks that the Mochanus mitzvah is an exception. But as I said, certainly that's what was done. The question is, does that prove that it's usher? Okay, the next question. Yeah.
You said there's another way of reading the Rambam than the Shurashim, the vehicle of Mapa.
Yeah, maybe he's talking about Nilchamos includes other aspects of the war effort, like the Minhag of David, right? The men that are Yoshim Alakalim get the same amount of schar as a bizui as the men that went out to battle. In other words, they're Nilchamos. If you think he's alluding to the Mishnah Sota, and the Mishnah Sota says that women do have to participate in the war effort in terms of Mochanus Mitzvah, but doesn't. Milchamos doesn't have to mean wearing guns. So I don't know if it's machrach. Okay. So then the question is, like I said, well, what about, okay, so they're not going to go join the army, but can carry a gun for protection and safety and the like. So the Shoel in that Shuvatar of Moshe wanted to be mati for a number of reasons. The first reason, he said, was based off of the Taz, that we know that if it's functional, it's mutter. And therefore, here it should be okay. So Rav Moshe says this is wrong. This is not a good reason to be Mako, because he writes that Hine mitzad tama taz vashach v'shem abach the darkei noi v'kishut aser hu rak b'vegadim v'kishutim v'avars seyar aval halav de'ika lo bosh klizayin v'latze islam milchama ein ze klal inyan noi v'kishut Elishu Isser Acher She'ika Gamken Yechla Lavza. So, first of all, this is another place where we see Rav Moshe adopting this approach, this mitziv like approach. And Rav Moshe therefore thinks that the functionality heter would not apply when it comes to weapons. Now, in the end, though, he is matir, and he says, basically, because it is derech nashim to carry defensive weapons, it's only not derech nashim to go out to war and do battle, to carry offensive weapons. And especially, he says, when we're dealing with the type of weapon that a soldier wouldn't use. You wouldn't go out to battle with something like a small pistol, a handgun, something like that. So soldiers, when they go out to battle, they don't take their handguns. They take machine guns or semi-automatic machine guns or rifles or whatever. Nobody is going around. So here's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a defensive weapon. It's not an offensive weapon. So it's not derech anoshim latif bin Muhammad with this type of weapon either. And therefore, he thinks fundamentally this doesn't really fall under the restriction. And he also says that it should be mutakas mikoth nefesh. Now, it's important to take note. Again, we don't have time to go into it now. That Rav Moshe is willing to call this mikoth nefesh. Because as he himself notes, you know, they don't have to live here. They could stay at home, or why do they have to live the house? Or they could ask men to come with them whenever they do need to leave the house. And yet he says, no, we could still apply the hatter of pikuach nefesh. And this is, again, another topic, but something to think about. Rav Moshe here seems to say that you're allowed to employ pikuach nefesh broadly. So since it's not a realistic situation to sort of live here and yet not leave your house, even though each act of leaving the house, you know, you could probably avoid, nevertheless, there's a broad heter of pikuach nefesh. I think especially when it comes to something like this, where these, they're fulfilling mitzvahs, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and the like. An interesting question that the post can further discuss is, so how far would you take this heter pikuach nefesh? For example, would it be mutter for women to carry guns when they're going on tehillim? So can we really say there that there's a heter of pikuach nefesh? In Israel, many tehillim, you have to carry a gun, or you have to have somebody carrying neshek. So is it mutter? Is that, if you think that you need that, to pikuach nefesh, is that pikuach nefesh or no? You know, don't go on hike, who told you to go on a hike. So that's an important practical thing that you have to consider in terms of employing Rav Moshe as kula. Okay, we're almost out of time. Let's quickly at least talk about little children. So obviously, yeah. Going to the army? Yeah. No, I mean, I said what I was going to say for now, that it seems like most poskim accept the view of the Radvaz, who is Machmir. In terms of anyone who's like officially Mekel, the only one I saw was really the Minchas Chinuch. It's an interesting Shaila. So certainly that wouldn't convince Rav Moshe, who thinks that the Isser is fundamental to men, and or the Netziv or the like. The question
sounds like it's still like
I'm sorry?
Ram sounds like it's still like also.
But yes. But it's not clear, especially if you hold to the other diuk, like Rav Moshe has for the Rambam, that grooming is aser, according to the Rambam, independent of the minhag, that it's still aser for men to dye their hair or
pluck. The Rambam didn't say it or whatever. He did say about the Gadol.
No, but so the Rambam, you're saying, because the Rambam puts together this with the Gadol. Let's just look back at the Rambam's Lashon. Lo tade isha ade ish. To go to Tassim Roshim Snafes, Lukova, Osha Tilba Shirion, Mikyotsubo, Osha Tissa, Shetigalech, Roshish, Meloyada Ish, Adisha, Roshiobash, Begadim, Sluim, Lukhaliazov, Bimkom Shain Lotion. So I would say, because Shain Lotion, Osanakalem, Vamis, and Osanakali, Alashmanagudina, Kokumudra. So he doesn't say it explicitly by weapons. He says it, by ish ade isha. Now you could argue that what he says at the end is going back for men and women, but it's not clear. Not clear. But yeah, you could make that argument. Yeah, so it's an important question. We definitely did not fully examine it. Okay, the very last point, which we now only have 2 minutes for, is children. So it's obvious that when children are gil chinuch, you have to be chinuch them for this, like everything else. The question that the post can discuss is, what about lo gil chinuch? Like a little baby. So, let's say, you want to save a little bit of money and you have lots of hand-me-downs from this baby boy's older sister. They happen to be pink. And you're saying, like, why should I bother buying the blue clothing? I'll just give him, put on the older sister's clothing. It's like Legil Chinuch. He doesn't even know what he's wearing. Doesn't know that they're girls' clothing. Is there any Isser? So many poskim say, yeah, still Isser. Why Safina? As we talked about earlier in the summer, that there's an Isser Safia. So therefore, it should be aser to be malbish these clothing to women. So Rav Moshe, Evan Hazar, Chayil Dal, Zimlam, Samach Beis, seems to be Mekel. V'davar inyan iser, lo yilbash gever me'emasai chiyuv l'chanich, hine, kol zman shetzach l'imo, lo shaykh chinuch l'zeh, v'chein mashi na'kel l'fanah rosha l'hal yisho, aval yaduwa shedar chanashim af, even though there are clear distinctions between male baby clothing and female baby clothing, but you don't have to follow them. So people might think it's tznius, but it's not. Maybe L'schashev gam b'minhag l'tznias v'afshen atzman hatinok v'atinokos ein lanshom hargash b'zeh. So maybe at that point you should start. It's a minhag tznias. Kigam inyan busha hu mistaber shetoloi v'zeh v'avanas hatinokos. Shem kvar yedun u'margishin b'vusha gam b'inyan abkadim shemachan fine. So if they're old enough to be embarrassed, then you should stop. But if the children are not old enough to be embarrassed about wearing girls' clothing or boys' clothing, then it doesn't seem to be aser. So why is there no aser sfia? So, and especially because we'll see other poskim are machmir and shaila. So Menachem suggested that the pshat is that that maybe the iser of lo yilbash is tali b'kavana, as we've seen. And when you don't have kavana to dress up as the opposite gender, like, for example, when it's functional, dehainu shitas habach, so then it would be mutter. So here the babies don't have any kavana, so therefore it's mutter. However, as we saw, that's not so pashut, because we, let's say, even if we accept the bach partially, we also accept the chomer, the shach, as we discussed. The shach says that when you are entirely dressed as the opposite gender, it's still aser. And if shad is, as we've seen from many poskim, that there's also an iser totzah that's independent of the kavana, meaning if the totzah is looking like the wrong gender, it's aser. So therefore, you could argue for the following pshara, which is, you know, if you're, you know, you have one article of clothing, if the boy still looks like a boy, but whatever, he's wearing a sister's socks or something like that, so then that's okay. That's functional. That's practical. You don't, like, you're trying to save some money. Not buy a whole new wardrobe, but if it's so dressed up that a mamish looks like the opposite gender, you know, head to toe in pink, so even if it's for practical reasons, maybe it should still be aser for the shach, because there's a nisr topsa over here. Maybe. What about unisex clothing? So I would think for sure that's mutter. In fact, I told my wife that she should save money and whenever buying baby clothing, buy ones that could use for opposite both genders, so you don't have to, like, limit yourself. She didn't like that idea. Maybe she didn't like that idea because the Shevet HaLevi thinks that it's usher. Hey, he even uses very strong language. The Shevet HaLevi says, no, unisex is usher. This is Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Tess. Simen Kuf Ayin He, which Menachem put on the chat, I think. Did you put it on the chat? Or that was just to me?
No, it
was on the chat. Okay. So he is very machmir, as I said, on this topic. Very big chiddush. First of all, I thought there's a raya to be makil. Just happened. Anyway, there's a raya to be makel because we saw in the Rambam, that what should a tumtum and androgynous do? They should wear non-male and non-female clothing. So clearly you're not over a male. If you wear unisex clothing, that's exactly what he said. They can't wear male clothing because maybe it's in a cave. They can't wear female clothing. Maybe it's a zacher. So wear non-male, non-female. Clearly it's possible. You're not over if you wear non-male, non-female. So I thought that was a very, very big chiddush. That is what he says. Now, a last point, and then I'll take your question, is maybe there's just another thing that we have to keep in mind over here. I'm not saying how this plays out Levisa, but certainly something to think about, which is really relates to what we were talking about at lunch today, and also societal shifts in this matter. And that's also sort of what the Shevet HaLevi brings out in terms of the importance of being extra careful in this. He quotes his Lashon of the Sefer HaChinuch. Dein Safik he im yihu malbushe hanashim v'nashim shavim yisarvu elu elu tamid umala haaret zima. And in fact, we saw the Rambam in Tshuva, the same Rambam that we quoted before, this one cited in Rokeach, who also, besides being very upset about the women dancing with swords at the wedding in front of the men. You know, you saw mitzvah tants and were controversial. So he says, "V'chein hatinokos l'famim yakshitu osam b'kishutei hanashim v'yitzbu yedehem b'tzava shetzovos bo hanashim yedehem." So they put makeup on these little children. "V'zeh behefach mimah shetzivu alav matike hashmu azal mimah shetzivu alav hanavi shechachamim hizhiru l'adam sheyadrech banav b'darech yishara." This part of Chinuch, and maybe, you know, he's talking there about tinokos, little children. Maybe they're also like little tiny children. But part of Chinuch is taking this into account. So dressing up little boys as little girls or little girls as little boys is, even if it's not formally asur, based off the Sefer Chinuch, based off of the Chusar Rambam, we could certainly say it's a very bad idea, especially if they're totally dressed up and the like, which is yet another reason why, even if we're not going to go as far as Shevet Halevi and argue unisex clothing, which is a very big chiddush, Shevet Halevi points out that we have to be even more machmir here because you can't tell the difference between boys and girls from their face or their other body features. So this is just another reason why you should, you know, not have your kids get up Sharon's, because you're like opening yourself up to all these possibilities. Especially if you follow the Shevet Halevi. I mean, you know, I guess the Shevet Halevi had like, you know, didn't have girls wearing onesies, but assuming not, so maybe I'm joking a little bit. Yes?
I was just going to say, could it be that now, and this is one of a stretch, but to say that if there's so many pictures of babies, and when they get older, they're embarrassed?
Okay, you should definitely take into account whether you don't want to embarrass your child once they grow older. That's something to think about. Okay, so we're going to stop here and stop the sugya here, even though, again, we could probably go on for much longer. So in terms of the next sugya, I was thinking Lo Sechanim. I was thinking about that very recently because somebody went ahead and gave my son a bunch of baseball cards. And he kept on asking me who's good and who isn't good. And like, is this like, you know, so when you think, wow, this player is amazing, I was thinking, uh-oh, better learn about Lo Sechanim. So Be'ezras Hashem, I will send out my makomos for that tonight. Okay. Sorry? It might be earlier. I'll send you out to Simanim and check your Varalim of the Shulchan Aruch to say which you might need a new chelak.